live from Liverpool, we need to talk about ghosts with Kevin Eustace.
Hello, everybody. I do hope that you're well. Hooray! We're back for a standard edition of We Need to Talk About Ghosts. Because you know why? We need to talk about ghosts, that's why. We've been doing a lot of We Don't Need to Talk About Ghosts, the little bonus episodes midweek, just to keep everybody sane, including me and Becca. There's no Becca on this show. She will be on the Patreon one afterwards, but she's got a lot to do today, because tomorrow is my birthday. Hooray! He said in unison with himself. Which means that we've got a fair bit on today. We've got to try and go around and socially distance, pick up cards and stuff. So it's going to be a little bit of a shorter episode this week. And we'll be back with aplomb next week. But if you do want to hear Becca's subtle tones where we're going to discuss a few things, then you need to sign up to Patreon, like a few people have done this week. Big shout out to all of our Patreons, especially our new ones, who we like to say thank you to via the medium of song. The guitar's out, and you may notice it's dropped D tuning. For all those out there, that you'll note that the bottom string, which is normally E, sounds like the D string, the third string. And that's how you drop D tune, which allows me to do some moody, atmospheric, grunge-esque acoustic numbers like this. So we've had three people who have signed up this week to Patreon. Thank you very much. We have the wonderfully named Lais Williams, Richard Corrigan, and Lindsay Cullen. And this is how we thank them. Yeah. Lais Williams, Richard Corrigan, and Lisa Cullen, yeah. They have made a pledge to help keep the show afloat. Oh, yeah. Because they're super Patreons. And they're super Patreons. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you very bloody much. I ended it on a D7 there. Don't know why. But thank you, you three wonderful people. Yes, if you'd like to become a Patreon, where you're getting currently about three extra shows a week, yes, go over to patreon.com/ we need to talk about ghosts. Now, because we're having a bit of a smaller episode, I'm not going to do a Week in Weird this week. It will return next week, but as I say, we have people to see, places to go, and I'm sure you won't begrudge me a shorter episode on my birthday eve. And if you do, well, sod you. I joke, of course. You're very entitled to your opinion, but it's still going to be shorter, because I'm the man with the buttons, baby. Okay, that said, let's get to some bloody spooky stories, shall we? Let's. And we're back. Oh, just to say, I forgot to mention, anyone who has been listening to the We Don't Need to Talk About Ghosts, you know, on a Friday where we go and deliver things door to door, or we deliver some food stuff, Becca's volunteering stuff. And the last drop off we put on the Patreon episode. Anyway, the last Patreon episode, Becca insisted that there was a stray dog in the street. It wasn't stray. Let me just say that much. And we ended up speaking to half the street trying to resolve the issue. Yeah, thankfully we caught it all on tape. So yeah, just to say, that's the sort of gold you're missing over on Patreon. Makes it sound like I don't want you to sign up. I do, but you know, just saying what went on. I just thought I'd mention that because it was very funny at the time. Now let's get some actual spook. Our first story today comes in from the wonderful Jenny Calloway. And she sent in a couple of stories. And her email goes thus. Hi, Kev. Hi. And Becca.
Hi.
Hope you and all the listeners out there are safe. I hope so too, Jenny, I do indeed. I so appreciate this podcast and all the others that help up break the monotony of my current daily routine. Well, you're very welcome, Jenny. Thank you for sending your email in. Here's a couple of stories that I hope will be entertaining. Me too, it's kind of the lifeblood of the show, Jenny, don't you know? Anyway, your story. In my mid-20s, after graduating from college, I moved back to my hometown and got engaged to my longtime boyfriend. Both things that, in hindsight, were big mistakes. But I digress. He'd been living in a small cottage built in the 1940s that was a 20-minute walk from the town centre and located right behind my grandmother's craftsman bungalow where my father grew up. My grandmother passed away several years before and her house had sold a couple of times, but the area was still so familiar to my family and me. In fact, the first time my dad visited our cottage, he pulled up, got out of the car and said, "Oh, I know this place. My first girlfriend, Daphne, lived here." They were both around 5 or 6, so it was an adorable little romance that consisted of backyard playdates to escape the somewhat harmless abuse of older siblings. Haha, she says. And I agree, I hope it's a haha situation. It's not usual to see the letters haha or the word haha after the word abuse. Unless, of course, somebody can't pronounce bus and they're saying, look, look, Luke, Luke, abuse, abuse, we must catch abuse. Then you can say, ha, 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 ha. But anyway, I digress. He would often reminisce about the neighbourhood and being a kid in the 60s. We lived there for 2 years and my dad never had anything but fond memories of the house, so I never thought anything otherwise. We had a fluffy Australian Shepherd mix named Chewy, and he was a big teddy bear. He was also extremely protective of us, as shepherding breeds can often be. He slept in our room, usually near the bed, and was acutely aware of every noise and shadow, but rarely barked unless it was something truly alarming, i.e. something at the door or a smoke alarm, etc. But one night, we both awoke to him standing in the middle of the hallway, barking and growling towards the bathroom. We got up, checked the rooms and doors, and everything was normal. We finally convinced him of the same and coaxed him back into the bedroom. We never heard or saw anything ghostly in the house, so we chalked it up to an animal being outside. A few months later, we found a larger place and made plans to move. I was speaking to my mum about our moving plans and made a comment about being a little sad about leaving the small, cosy cottage, and she looked at me in a typical matter-of-fact way and said, "Well, I'm not. It's always been a sad house." What? She proceeded to tell me about Dad's little girlfriend, Daphne, and her family issues that finally circled around to how her father committed suicide by shooting himself in the shower. Oh my God. Well, that took a dark turn, didn't it, Jenny? Bloody hell's bells. There's me thinking, nice little light story. Like we were saying before, abuse. No. Let's get in the car, go back a few minutes. 88.8 miles per hour, please, in the DeLorean, because we need to go and revisit that, haha, because this was abuse. It was mental abuse if her father shot himself, in the shower. I continue. In the same bathroom that our dog barked and growled toward late one night. Wow, that is scary. Of course, this was followed by, "Mum, why didn't you tell me this before? And why didn't you tell me when we still had 2 weeks left in the house?" But she never believed in the paranormal, so it didn't make a difference to her. Needless to say, I didn't sleep well for the next 2 weeks in the house. I bet you didn't, because that's absolutely terrifying. Sorry, there's been a little bit of a weird noise there, because I've just nudged guitar strings. They make a sound like this. So if anyone's thinking that I'm being abducted by aliens, I'm not. Now, let me get back to the bloody suicide in the shower of that man. Oh my Lord. Also, I'm not one to make any sort of judgments on anyone with mental health. I'm sure we've all experienced something at some point in our lives. I know I have. But what goes through your head, seriously, you know, especially to say, I'll do this in the shower. Because it shows some still, I know that people can be like eerily calm and rational. Oh, I know that's kind of a contradictory term in it to say you're rational when you're shooting yourself. But I've heard that people are like, oh no, I'll just like, you know, they fold clothes or something before they jump off a cliff or whatever else. But to go, oh, I best do this in the shower, you know, because nothing's worth living for. But, I don't want to cause a mess. Bloody hell. Anyway, you've sent in another story, Jenny, so let's read that also. Did you hear the guitar things again? Sorry, move this bloody guitar. Honest to God. Should you pretend I'm talking to an alien? Hello, alien, what's your name? Really, what a pretty name. My name's Kevin. No, I'm pleased to meet you. Move. Stupid guitar. Right, your second story, sorry. My second story isn't mine, but was told to me by a lady I once worked for named Deb. As I mentioned in my last submission about the Robert Toombs House Museum. Oh, this is this, Jenny? Brilliant. Okay. I grew up in a very historic town. Old buildings, historic houses, and plantation homes everywhere you turned, which also means a lot of ghosts. Deb moved into a town in the mid-90s with her 3 young children. At the time, she was just getting her business started and decided to rent a house before finding a place to purchase. She found an old plantation home about 10 miles from town that had been empty for some time but well maintained due to the fact it was the summer home of a wealthy family in town. It's a large 2-story home, typical to the American Southeast. Big front porch with columns and large windows and doors. This home has so many stories attached to it and I'll have to contact my friend to get more. Some will make you shiver. I bet they will. Please send them on in, Deb. Where are we? Anyway, after moving in, she noticed little things like doors unlocking or locking by themselves, things being moved or misplaced, and pictures being turned over. One day, she came home to find the babysitter sitting on the front steps with all three kids. When she asked why they were outside, the babysitter simply replied, "I'm not going back in the house again." Deb went inside to find all the pictures in the living room turned around, including one that was sitting on an easel. The kids swore it wasn't them, and considering all the other strange activity, she didn't question them. After a few months, she bought a house and moved out of the plantation home. On the last day of moving, she asked a friend to ride out with her to grab one more box and lock up. Her friend knew all about the stories and didn't want to go, but finally she was convinced by being told she didn't have to go inside and could just stay in the car, keeping it running. When they got in the house, Deb got out of the car, went inside and started her last walkthrough. Her friend sat in the car staring at the imposing home and thankful that she was safe inside a vehicle. After a few minutes, she looked at the parlour window and saw Deb pull back the curtain and smile and wave at her as if to let her know she was almost done. Can I just say, do we all think that that was a ghost? I think we can all agree that that may be a ghost. Let's find out. Where are we? As she started to wave back, she heard the driver's side door open and turned to see Deb getting in the car. Her mouth dropped open as she stared at Deb and then back at the now empty window. If Deb was getting into the car, who was waving at her from the window? I think I called it. Did I call it? I think I called it. Did we all call it? I think we all called it. That's not to lessen the story. It's still bloody terrifying. I guess the poltergeist wanted one last scare with them. Either way, Deb's friend was inconsolable all the way back to town. The new owners of this home say they've never had any ghostly experiences, but they sleep in a restored cabin that sits separate from the main house. So what does that tell you? Quite, Jenny, quite. Thanks so much for letting me share again. You're welcome. I have more stories, but most of them aren't mine. Just ones I've heard from friends and family. I suppose I'm not sensitive or whatever, but maybe ghosts just don't like me. Haha, she puts again. And quite apt this time. Hope you will continue to stay well, and I hope you will too, Jenny. Thank you, Jenny. What wonderful stories. Oh my lord. There's always something a little bit... I don't know, it can't just be me. We're all human, we're all very similar. But you know when you hear like one that features a suicide? I don't know. It's like it cuts through all the layers of like, oh, I'm a bit scared, to like something intangible inside you that just like, oh, hold on, we've crossed the line here. But not to say that it doesn't add to a great story, as weird as that may sound. So thank you, Jenny. That was fantastic. If you've got a story like Jenny's, doesn't have to feature a suicide, but you know, if you've got a terrifying story like Jenny's, then please send them in. This is the lifeblood of the show, and that's why we need to talk about ghosts. Yes. Send it in to talk about... Oh, no. Nearly give the Hotmail address out. It's not 1992, Kevin. Send the email in to contact@talkaboutghosts.com, and we will indeed read them out. But Jenny, sincerely, thank you for that story. Or stories, plural. Yes, more than one. I learned that in school. Lesson one, year one. Why I forgot it then? I don't know. Anyway, as we said, it's a bit of a shorter episode, so we're going to have an early midpoint. The Western Midpoint, and midpoint is on Sonntag, because it's Sunday. Hooray! I hope that you're all fantastic, and we're all getting through this together. It does look like we're coming out the other side, doesn't it? Which is brilliant. And we're not going to mention C words, but I will say, I'll mention a Q word, yes. And that Q word is quiz. We're going to have what I'm now labelling the final ever paranormal quiz. Yes, the final ever. A week this Saturday. So it's not this Saturday coming, which is the 23rd. It's not that date. So I don't know why I said that date. It's the 30th of May is when we're penciling in for the final live paranormal quiz, which will take place, as always, on the Facebook page. And the reason why I think it's going to be the final one is hopefully we're all going to be a little bit closer to being out and about. So there'll be less people locked indoors that will want to even see a quiz. And also... Yeah, it's getting harder and harder to do. So a few of you lovely listeners have already sent in some suggested questions. It's going to be a lot more general knowledge based this last quiz. So if you'd like to send in some questions for a paranormal based quiz, but they can be general knowledge if you wish, you can send them over to contact@talkaboutghosts.com. And we will include them in the next quiz that we have upcoming. We're going to hopefully get a few more VIPs in. because we've literally left the two last minute to get anyone in last time. So as you might have seen, we had a visit from a ghost instead who read some questions. And she's literally got her own fan base, that ghost. And if you go over to the Facebook page, I think that quiz is still on there. You can scan through it until you see. It's right towards the end, I think, of that quiz. You will see the ghostly question person. It's not me, put it that way. And there's normally only one other person on this quiz. So you make the mind up, not this quiz, this show. So you make your mind up who that VIP is. Anyway, we, of course, done Eurovision last night, me and Becca. It was cancelled, but the BBC still shown this thing that was broadcast from Norway or Netherlands even, where it was still shown every song that would have participated in Eurovision. So we got dressed up to the nines, had some tapas, got a bit drunk and watched Eurovision. But next year's one needs to be live again because it was a pay. You know what? It was because the BBC had a show on before Eurovision, about Eurovision, to make up for the fact that it wasn't live. Then they had the one from the Netherlands on. Then they had another show about Eurovision. Then another show about Eurovision. Now, long story short, the theme for this year's Eurovision was Let Love Shine a Light, which was the name of a Eurovision winning song by Katrina and the Waves, which meant the programme before it had that song on. Eurovision itself had that song, an instrumental version, then a version sung by all of the competitors, then Katrina and the Waves version. The show after it had the same song. By the end of the night, I was like, I'm done with Eurovision now. It can wait another year. So that's my Eurovision tale as well, which I'm sure you were all eager to learn. Anyway, I hope that you're all keeping well, guys, and looking out for each other. As I say, yeah, semi-apology, because I'm not really that apologetic about it being my birthday tomorrow, but I am apologising for the fact this episode's going to be slightly shorter than we used to, and that's because we have to get around about 9 different houses with social distancing things so I can pick up things for me. Yes, so I apologise for that, but we will be back to normal length next week. Yes, we shall indeed. And of course we'll still have some We Don't Need to Talk About Ghosts through the week. Anyway, this is a midpoint, so we still have a second half of this show to go. So let's get to it, shall we? See you on the other side. And we are back for the illest of behaviours and a continuation of some spookiness. Yes. So our next email comes in. This is amazing. Comes in from someone who does not want to be named. Yes, that's right. It's Voldemort. No, it's not. It's somebody who wants me to use a pseudonym. And their pseudonym is Bolkonski. Yes. So thank you, Bolkonski. And they've sent in an email called Voices in Ear Stuff. And this is very creepy. And I'll read it out now. Hi, Kev. Hi, I'm Becca.
Hi.
I've been debating sending you an email about my previous apartment. I feel like nothing super noteworthy happened there, and I don't know the extended history of the place. But since listening to the latest episode of your podcast, I felt I had to get in touch. The most frequent activity I experienced there was being woken up at night by a voice in my left ear, not my right. It was a masculine, gruff kind of loud whisper of the greeting, "Hey." Not in a demonic or threatening way, just startling. And as it kept happening, annoying. I remember barking back at the voice at least once to please just let me sleep. I didn't make a habit of checking the time when this happened, but it was definitely within the window of the common spooky time hour, as I only went to bed after midnight or 1 a.m, and generally take around an hour on top of that to actually fall asleep. Now, the closet was immediately to the left of my bed, so the believer, in inverted commas, part of me got the idea to just check that the door was closed before I fell asleep. It was a sliding door, and the bottom part wasn't secured onto any kind of guide rail. The closet also connected through at the other side to the bathroom, and my cat would frequently walk through, or, if the door was closed, ram her way through. So closing the door didn't work in my favour, and I'd still wake up to the voice. I tried to convince myself it was some kind of dream phenomena, but I don't have a history of experiencing this before living at that apartment. I've been at a different apartment for almost 5 months now, and I only wake up to a voice in my ear once. Within the first or second night that I slept there, it was in my left ear again, but this time, to my immediate left is a wall, not a closet, and the voice was different. Here, it was a computerized female voice, but still a greeting. Hello. it has not happened since. All in all, I was only at the previous apartment for 2.5 years. It's a small second-story apartment building that was converted from a barn. The first floor is a store, and there are 3 apartments above. I lived there alone with my cat. I was in an end unit directly above the active part of the store, in brackets, versus the storage areas. About halfway through my stay there, the store moved out. I lived in this town long enough to know that this store has seen a lot of turnover, so it wasn't too surprising. Anyway, I'm telling you this to say I've definitely heard voices and footsteps below me at the time of night when the store was closed for the evening, and even after they'd moved out. I would also occasionally hear a door slamming down there. I always kept the blind up on my front window for the cat, even at night, and would see headlights if anyone had pulled into the parking lot, so I knew if anyone was stopping in at night. Now, I said there were 3 apartments, so what about my neighbours? Could the noises be from them? Well, my immediate neighbour, in brackets, the guy in the middle apartment, was essentially never there. He paid his rent and got his mail, but he seemed to be living out of the state. In brackets, this is in Pennsylvania in the US, by the way. I was able to hear when he was home, and any TV noise or furniture creak that I heard through the wall was very different from the sounds I would hear at night. The neighbour on the other side of him was too far away from me to hear sounds from. I never really talked to them aside from passing greetings, so I don't know if they ever experienced anything. All in all, I quite liked the location and general situation I had at that apartment, but the longer I am away from it, the more I realised there were a lot of things that could be nothing or just too coincidental to be coincidence if you consider them all at once. For example, aside from the ear voice, I would frequently experience corner of the eye phenomena down at my feet, like a passing cat, whilst my cat was within eyesight. It was like a shadow and my cat is all white. I often felt followed when ascending the outside stairs to my door, but I brushed it off as paranoia. At one point, I had a flickering light bulb in the bathroom, despite it being one of those fancy kind that is supposed to last extra long. I assumed it was just dying, but the flickering lasted over a month, and wasn't consistent with when it would happen. It'd go long enough without doing it that I'd forget it was happening. I eventually replaced the bulb again, and it stopped. Not too long after that, my internet cut out. It was a pain in the ass to get it back, in brackets it took 3 weeks, and when the tech guy was there, he did a lot of troubleshooting for the problem, including some device that would trace the line even if the line was clipped, and ultimately came down to, in brackets, it's like the line isn't there, like it was taken out. It was an old phone line embedded in the wall. We had to run a new line outside to fix it, and whilst that was happening, my trash had also stopped being picked up, which became another fiasco. But ultimately, things fell into place that I was able to move out shortly after all that resolved, and now I just have a messy roommate to contend with instead of whatever was going on over there. I'm still living in that same town, and I drive past that place a lot. I know that the apartment was shown and rented out after me, so I don't think the landlord was trying to push me out or something. In brackets, I was a good tenant, paid rent early, shovel the snow out front, etc. But maybe someone spectral was. When I was first shown the apartment, the landlord commented how the other 2 apartments had long-standing tenants, but no one seemed to stay in that third one. So there's that, I guess. I myself thought I'd be staying there for at least 5 years, if not longer. Oh, and about the ear thing. I hadn't wondered before if it's consistently the right or left ear for different people. Like I said earlier, it was always my left ear, but didn't seem demonic. The only other thing I can think of that's related is when I'm at work and only using one earbud to listen to music or podcasts, I have the bud in the left ear. Maybe that ear is just more receptive for me. I don't know. Thank you for the great show and all the bonus episodes recently. Please don't use my legal name if you read this on the podcast, which I have. Reddit, not use your legal name. Please use my pseudonym instead. Bolkonski. Thank you, Bolkonski. What I will say is creepy about that is the computerized voice when you moved. That's the bit that stuck with me. I know that it's spooky, somebody saying, hey, in your ear anyway. But when you moved and then something, a computerized voice in your ear went, hello, that wouldn't be like, nah, I need to leave because that's like an alien presence. Yeah, it's trying to make contact. But thank you, Bolkonski. You know what? I've really had to be careful saying that name because I nearly keep saying bollock. And you can't say bollock. because that's not nice, is it? So, Bolkonski. Thank you, Bolkonski. I need to get away from that name quickly so I don't make a mistake. Anyway, so as short and sweet as this episode was, I sincerely thank you for downloading it. And I apologise for its length, but I don't apologise for my birthday. Unfortunately, why we're having to cut this one short this week is because of this whole C word thing. We have to be at people's houses when they're ready to be there. So they've all got stuff going on. People seem to be less available during this than they are at normal life, which seems bizarre, but that's how it is. So unfortunately, I've got to try and fit everything else in today as well. But I sincerely thank you for listening to this. We will be back with a standard episode next week. I want to thank you for all of the correspondence that you've sent in, and I will be reading those out and a lot more stories out next week. I do want to say a special thank you to Robin and Gwen from Colorado Springs, who sent me and Beck out. As we mentioned through the week on the We Don't Need to Talk About, she sent us the most fantastic parcel. And I did say that I'd mention it again on the main show, which I am doing now, because you should have seen this bloody box. It was absolutely amazing. She sent it all the way from Colorado, and there was three parcels in it. One for me, one for Becca, and one for the neighbor's cat. And honest to God, like, all handmade stuff, wonderful. I mean, apart from there was a few things like, you know, a badge of Aleister Crowley. That's now on the fridge. Yeah, we now have a possessed fridge. Like Zool from Ghostbusters. But just amazing. So thank you sincerely, Robin and Gwen. You absolutely made our week there. We were took aback and gobsmacked. We still are, in all honesty. So thank you very much for that. And a sincere thank you to everyone who took the time to listen to this show. Apologies for its length, as I say. But we will be back next week with a full-length spooky tale. I'm off to record a quick Patreon with Becca now. If you want to go and listen to that, then fine if you're a patron. If you're not, you can go and sign up at patreon.com/ we need to talk about ghosts. I think we're going to be discussing something that I think it might have been Lais, one of our new patrons, put on the Facebook group. Yes, you may have seen it. It's a little article in the New York Times about people who are quarantining with ghosts, which is scary, isn't it? Yes. Well, we'll see just how much when I go and speak to her in a sec. In the meantime, in the between time, take care of yourselves and each other. Look out for everybody that you see. And yeah, just be nice. And I will speak to you through the week for some we don't need to talk about. And we'll be back. What was that? We'll be back. Next week for the standard show, a lot lengthier, probably another half an hour on top of this, full of ghost stories. Yes. So we'll make up for this length next week. I've said that before. Okay then, guys, take care of yourselves and each other, and I will see you later. Tatty bye.